This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance, and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at Progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of four lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
I don't really know what's happening right now on the show. The show is kind of spiraled out of control. I am being accused of planting text messages and phone calls, even though none of that has happened. Rob, you handle the phones. Was Bob planted? Did I plant Bob?
No.
I know they won't believe me. I know just because you say it, they won't believe me. I did not plant Bob.
The phone was ringing. You, during a cut, leaned over and said, hey, take it. Let's see if it's good. Bob told me he was mad about you making Baltimore material, so I put Bob on the line. And then Bob, by golly, explained how he's scared of the Steelers.
This is the thing. You guys give me a lot of credit. If you think I planted Bob, then you really you're giving me a lot of credit for creating a segment that I didn't know was going to happen. The text line. Text line 913-576-7610. Teams that are playing with house money scare me. The 2014 Royals, I get it. They're a different sport, but still, someone else. Just remember, don't be so arrogant. You were trying to get to where the Steelers organization has already been. You guys still got a ways to go to catch up. You know how many teams with house money scare you? For every team that plays with house money that actually does something, I can give you 15 examples of teams with house money that get smoked. The Steelers have had they're a great organization, first-class organization. I don't know how much that helps them on Sunday against the better team, which is the Kansas City Chiefs. I just don't know. And if your only worry is that the Steelers can win ugly, then you just don't really give them a really good chance to win this game. Let's go to the phone line. This is another call that's not planted. Clinton, you called into the drive. Hey, Clinton.
Yeah, I just wanted to say, so one of the things that we love about the NFL is something you can't account for, and that's injury. So you can't, you know, I'm fully confident all phases of the game we can dominate. Like you said, 30 points, six games in a row. If we do that, I feel like we win. But T.J. Watt coming around the end, you know, our line, we have some new personnel. You take out Mahomes, then you put in Henny, and then the momentum changes, and then you got to rely on running the ball. I mean, it is a stretch. I think we're just worried. You know, we're going to jinx it. I think, you know, think about the Colts fans. Did they think the Raiders and the Jaguars, it would be losses and they wouldn't make it to the playoffs? They probably think, oh, that's impossible. Steelers, same thing. They didn't, no way in their wildest mind did they think that game could have possibly ended in a tie. So I just think we are definitely a little apprehensive, but I'm supremely confident in what the turnout. But I mean, an injury changes the whole complexity of your game and your playing is all I'm saying.
Clinton, let me ask you one question. So right now, yeah, the line is, I don't know how familiar you are with the betting lines, but the line right now is 12.5, 13. Let's say that Patrick Mahomes couldn't play. What's the new line?
I would put us at four. I would put us at plus four.
All right, Clinton. Well, if they're still favorites with no Patrick Mahomes, you're right. I hate when we do this. And that's no disrespect towards Clinton. I hate when we do this. I could walk outside and get hit by a bus, right? Like, I could. It's possible. It's possible. But you know what I should probably do? I should be planning to come to work tomorrow. I still got to plan tomorrow's show. When Rob's like, hey, what do you want to do on Friday's show? I'm like, well, I could die tonight. No, we still got to get ready for tomorrow, right? I still have to plan like I'm going to be here. because the odds are very much in my favor. I'm a 33 healthy individual. The odds are strong that I'll be here tomorrow. There's a chance. You're right. There's a chance I cannot be here. But I should plan like I will be. Well, if Patrick Mahomes got hurt, okay. I saw them win a playoff game where Patrick Mahomes got hurt last year, and they still won to a Cleveland team that was far better than this team. Far better than this team. Text line 913-576-7610. Hey, C-Dot, do you remember the 9-7 Super Bowl New York Giants? All right. I can't. The text line, I mean this in all seriousness. You're in timeout for the entire 3 o'clock hour. I will not read another text this hour. I cannot do it anymore. You have upset me. You've upset Rob. If you want to interact with the show, you got to call. 913-57. I'm not reading a single text in the 3 o'clock hour. At 4 o'clock, you'll get your privileges back. I'm not replying to any text. I'm not reading any text. I'm not referencing any. You're done. You're cut off. Last call was at 3 o'clock, and we reopen again at 4. Is that fair, Rob? I'm not reading any more text from anybody. My mom could text the show. I'm not reading it. I'm not reading it anymore.
I mean, I'll just quietly read it because it's absolutely hilarious.
You guys have lost your privileges.
It's so funny to watch.
Do you remember the 9-7 New York Giants? That's what the Steelers team reminds you of? The Steelers team reminds you of that. The 9-7 Giants. Okay. If you guys think I'm out of control, listen to Nick Wright.
This is the single biggest mismatch in wild card weekend history. Not just because of the point spread, but because previously, up until last year, a team such as the Steelers would not be in the playoffs as the 7th seed. And a team such as the Chiefs, a top 2 seed, would not be playing wild card weekend. So it is not over the top to say it's the biggest mismatch in wild card weekend history. It is not over the top to say what Big Ben just said, that they have no chance. And I said better than a bye yesterday. And the only real pushback I got, Broussard, was, oh, what about injuries? You don't get hurt on the bye.
Yes.
And I thought about that and I was like, you know what? You know what? That's a fair point. And that's why, Broussard, if I were Andy Reid, I would consider resting Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill this week.
Nick is crazier than I am. If you think I'm over the top right now and my feelings toward Kansas City winning this game, I ain't out here suggesting they should rest Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. Now, I am on team. I would rest Darrell Williams and Clyde Edwards-Helaire, and you could win this game with Jerick McKinnon and Derek Gore. I am on that side. I'm not on team you should rest Travis Kelce and Tyreek Hill. I'm not on that team. That's even a step further than I'm willing to go, and I'm out there. I've clearly let my stance be known. I'm out there. Nick took it one step further and said that this is better than actually having the bye.
This is actually better than a bye. Get some cardio in, knock off some rust, have no chance of losing.
He
can work on some things and be just rolling when the playoffs actually start for the Chiefs, the same weekend they've always started for the Chiefs under Mahomes, the divisional round.
This is better than a bye. Calling playing a team better than just resting and advancing is wild.
He said on air, they'll get some cardio.
This game is cardio. This game is steps for the Fitbit. The Steelers stink. Absolutely stink. I'm sure the text line enjoys that too, but we're not talking to the text line for the 3 o'clock hour. You're done. We'll take calls. We'll take more calls than we've ever taken before this hour. I'm not reading a single text. I'll just talk to Nick. Better than a bye, he said, is wild. All right, we'll take some phone calls. The phone are starting to catch up here. One person wants to talk about they're worried because they have playoff PTSD. Seems wild to me for a team that's been to 3 straight AFC championship games and 2 Super Bowls. Now we're worried about games that happened when Joe Montana was the quarterback, but I guess I get it. We'll do that next coming up. It's The Drive.
The
Drive. 610 Sports Radio. Welcome back to The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, your official broadcast partner of the Kansas City Chiefs.
Coming up in 15 minutes, we'll be joined by James Palmer of NFL Network. We'll talk about this game. We'll talk about the coaching carousel right now that's happening in the National Football League. A lot of things to catch up with James Palmer about. To update you on today's show, this is what's happening. The text line accused me of being a little bit too excited about the Chiefs, said I've been disrespecting the Steelers. It started a snowball effect of people creating any given Sunday scenarios in which the Chiefs lose. I then told Chiefs fans, remember who you are. You have the best quarterback in the league. You've had great playoff success. You beat this team 36-10 3 weeks ago. Text line got upset. People started calling in. The text line has been on foolishness for the last 45 minutes or so. The text line has been completely shut down. I will not read or look at a single text in the 3 o'clock hour. I do want to make one point, Rob, about PTSD and playoff PTSD, right? This would make sense to me if there was a basis of it with the quarterback that you currently have. Because correct me if I'm wrong, Rob, Patrick Mahomes has two playoff losses in his career. One was in the AFC Championship game to the New England Patriots, who won the Super Bowl that year. The other one was to the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, also quarterbacked by Tom Brady, in the Super Bowl. So any Chiefs PTSD reference is going to be with Trent Green at quarterback, or with Alex Smith at quarterback, or with Elvis Gerbach. I should be worried about this game because of Lynn Elliott. That's what I should be worried about. Well, Lynn Elliott did it in 97, so that, what? What reason do I have to think that the Pittsburgh Steelers can win on Sunday? How? Rob, you tell me. You're smart. You watch these games. Tell me how you think Pittsburgh can win this game. What's the scenario? What's the path to them winning this game?
It's got to be 17-13. That's the path. Maybe 20-17, 23-20. An absolute knockdown, drag out, rock fight kind of game. That's the only path. How often do we see that path come to fruition in the NFL? Pretty rare in the modern game. Offense abound. Lots of scoring. That's what happens now in the NFL. The only teams the Steelers have rock fought and beat like that are the Tyler Huntley Ravens and the Baker Mayfield Browns. And I was high on the Browns preseason. I was wrong. I'd eat crow on this show. Patrick Mahomes, the Chiefs are neither of those teams. They can score 24. They can score 21. The Steelers can't do those things. They can't.
Let's go to the phone lines. 913-576-7610. James Palmer of NFL Network coming up in 10 minutes. Damian, how are you doing today?
Hey, I'm doing great. First off, I didn't say I had PTSD. Okay, I'm 53 years old. I was a baby on my dad's knee, pooping in diapers and faucets the next day when the Chiefs won their first Super Bowl, and thought I'd be 80 years old in a rest home, pooping my diapers when they won their next. So, to me, Patrick Mahomes has exercised any of those demons. I was just telling him, hey, that's why your text line's freaking out. Because they do. And by the way, when Lynn Elliott missed that, Bono was the quarterback in the 90s. So we've had these number one seeds before, number two seeds. That's what a lot of your audience remembers. And we talked the same amount of crap going against the Colts, minus the no punt game, not with the Peyton Manning, but the 90s Colts. That's what a lot of these guys remember. And that's why they just go, oh my gosh, you know, slow the crap talk down. That's all there. That's really all your text line saying. That's what I was calling.
I appreciate it, Damian. Okay. I'm not saying you're right or wrong. Just okay. I just don't see it with the 2021 Pittsburgh Steelers. I just don't see it. If your path to beating the Chiefs is keeping it in the teens, then I just don't see it. You can keep the Ravens under 21 points without Lamar Jackson. The only game that I think really even gives you like a, huh, that's interesting, was when they beat Buffalo in week one. And week one just always has odd results. That's one of the losses this season. You think, like, how did they do that? Then you got to remember in week one, remember the Saints smoked the Packers in week one.
Also, with that game specifically, the Steelers-Bills game, let's run the actual game. They had a defensive and special teams touchdown.
Both.
They scored 14 points without their offense. If you think they're going to give up, have multiple non-offensive scores on Sunday night, then I get a little bit of fear. But betting on that's betting on like a hurricane. Yep, today's the day. Hurricane.
I would say in order for Pittsburgh to win the game, this is the scenario I would have to say. I think TJ Watt has to get at least two sacks. He has to get at least two sacks in order for them to win. I think that Pittsburgh needs to be at least plus two in the turnover margin. And I also think they need one defensive or special teams touchdown. That's the scenario in which I think they can win. It's going to take the perfect right combination of things to come together. But I would say TJ Watt has to have two sacks. They got to be plus two in the turnover differential, defensive and or special teams touchdown. If they do those things, this game will be close late. It will be, just based on the law of averages. I don't trust their ability to do all of those things, but that's the way I think you keep the game close. Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. We're only talking to the phone lines because we're not reading any texts in the 3 o'clock hour. Hey, Chris.
Hey.
Hey, man.
So I wanted to chime in here on been listening to you as I'm driving across the great state of Missouri. So that caller before who was trying to describe the scenario in which the Chiefs could lose, should have told you the scenario is when Patrick Mahomes, who never throws interceptions, throws two interceptions in one game. Your running back, who never fumbles the ball once in a game. Your special teams turns over a ball deep in your own red zone once in a game. And your defensive coordinator puts Sorensen in man-for-man coverage on their best tight end throughout an entire game, regardless of how many times he misses tackles and blows an assignment. That happened to us against the Ravens. I don't believe it'll ever happen again in this season. We've corrected all those things, but there is a reasonable doubt.
Okay, Chris, that's interesting. This would be my follow-up. How many points did Kansas City score in that game?
My memory's not good enough.
They scored 35 points. Do you see a scenario in which Pittsburgh scores more than 35 points in that game? With everything that you're saying, it happened. Mahomes threw a bad interception late, the Clyde Edwards-Helaire fumble, all of those things happened in the game. They still scored 35 points. Do you see a scenario in which Pittsburgh scores more than 35 points?
That offense will only score 10 to 14 points. It would have to be special teams and pick sixes to make that happen.
I appreciate it.
We'll score 21 to 28, even with all those turnovers.
Okay, I appreciate it, Chris. I mean, if you're going into a game and you're thinking that their offense can only score 10 to 14 points, then your chances of winning are just incredibly slim against Kansas City. Incredibly slim against the Chiefs. If that's your chance, is the most we think you can score offensively is 10 to 14 points, and the rest have to come from defensive special teams touchdowns. Let's say you get one. That puts you at 21. That means you got to beat Kansas City 21-17, 21-20. That's how you beat them? It just don't add up to me. The math ain't adding up. Let's go back to the phone lines, 913-576-7610. Brian, you calling into the drive. Hey, Brian.
Hey, C-Dot. Well, first of all, I want to say I'm not in your position reading all these completely ridiculous texts. But Now they're bringing up the house money thing, turn it on its head. Well, they're playing with house money. Now we should be scared of them. Well, they act like the Steelers are walking into a casino and only hitting slots. Sure, you're going to have a better chance than if you're playing a skill game. But we're not playing slots. We're playing poker. We're playing blackjack. You know what happens if you get house money and play poker or blackjack and you suck? You still lose because you suck. So that's all I'm saying. I'm completely on your side. Disregard the text line. We'll be fine. Go Chiefs.
I appreciate it, Brian. I've completely disregarded the text line. I'm not reading it anymore. I'll read it again at 4 o'clock. The way it's going right now, this might be for the rest of the show. Rob, how many points do you think Pittsburgh can score? Their offense. So no special teams, no pick six, no scoop and score. How many points do you think that their offense could generate in this game?
17 at the most. 17 is the high water mark on just offensive scores. And even that, I'm thinking to myself, you got to kind of get a short field somewhere, maybe a muff, a bad punt, some sort of play that gives you a short field. 17.
I think 17's the high end. I think 17's the high end. I'm with you. So let's say you score 17, you get one defensive touchdown that puts you at 24. I still don't think that's enough. I still don't think that's enough. I'm looking at the Steelers. We had the stat yesterday. They've only scored more than 24 points five times this season. There's not a team that's going to put up points. Let's go back to the phone lines. 913-576-7610. Ed, how are you doing today?
Hey, not too bad, C-Dot. I wanted to tell you I agree with you completely. There's no way the Steelers are going to come in here and beat us. But I wanted to go to the Wayback Machine. About 4 weeks ago, Mr. C-Dot was comparing the Chiefs' offense production to the Pittsburgh Steelers. And I just wanted your comments on that, sir.
I remember, Ed. I remember exactly what I said. I said Pittsburgh's offense is terrible. There was a six-week stretch there where the Chiefs had scored fewer points than the Steelers. Seemed like a problem to me. You know what happened? The Chiefs came out on the other end. That's what happened. The Chiefs came out on the other end. You remember, there was a stretch there where the Chiefs scored 3 points against Tennessee, 20 points against the Giants, 13 points against the Steelers. They had that 19 points against Dallas, 22 against Denver. It wasn't looking so hot for the Chiefs. It was looking rough. They came out the other side. They scored 48 against Vegas, 34 against Los Angeles, 36 against these same Pittsburgh Steelers. In a loss, they scored 31 against Cincinnati, and last week they scored 28. I don't think the Chiefs played really that well last week. So there was a stretch there in the middle part of the season where the Chiefs' offense was vulnerable, and they were figuring things out. That's when we were talking nonstop about too high safety looks and the Chiefs being able to beat cover two. Like, that was the conversation, the middle part of the season. We really had three different Chiefs conversations over the course of the year. I would say the first part of the season, so the first third of the season, it was what's wrong with the defense, because everybody could score on the Chiefs in the first 5 weeks or so of the season. The second part of the season, or the second third of the season, their offense was in a little bit of a lull. And then this last third, their offense has been good, but the defense has regressed a little bit. Their defense is still good. They finished top eight this year in points allowed. Their defense is still good. But there's been three different conversations about the Chiefs. Now you're heading into the playoffs, and they're going to be as healthy as you can be heading into the playoffs. The only player who didn't practice today was Clyde Edwards-Helaire. The only player. So everybody's there. They're as healthy as you're going to be after playing 18 regular season games. And it's go time for Kansas City. And if you think this team's a Super Bowl contending team, those dreams just don't get derailed by a team like Pittsburgh. Maybe they get derailed by Buffalo. Like, they can lose to Buffalo. Maybe those dreams get derailed in the AFC Championship game and they lose on the road to Tennessee. Like, that wouldn't be a shock. It wouldn't be a surprise. Maybe they lose in the Super Bowl again to Green Bay. I feel pretty confident that we'll have at least one more week of talking about playoff football. Coming up on the other side, we'll be joined by James Palmer of NFL Network. We'll get his thoughts on the wild card games, also the coaching carousel, and if he thinks Eric Bieniemy will get any of the available jobs. That's coming up next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
The Drive, weekdays 2 to 6.
Welcome back to The Drive.
Back in on The Drive on 610 Sports Radio, 610sports.com. We'll talk to James Palmer here coming up a little bit. As you know, David Culley, the head coach of the Houston Texans, was just fired. From Ian Rappaport of NFL Network, among the reasons Texans coach David Culley was fired, he would not make changes to his offensive staff. Houston had the 32nd ranked offense. Culley wanted to stay the course. Now he's gone. The offensive coordinator is gone. More changes are coming. The Texans are just... it is always something with the Houston Texans. We'll talk to our next guest, James Palmer of NFL Network, about the coaching carousel and this weekend's wild card matchups. Very happy to be joined by one of the best reporters in the game, James Palmer of NFL Network. James, how's it going, my man?
Going well, man. I'm just having like all these flashbacks about you talking about the Texans and my time down there. And it's just like we're going over it again, man. Here we go. Houston.
We absolutely are going through it again. Let's just start with the coaching carousel since that's the breaking news. I know Bieniemy interviewed for them the last time. Do you think he gets another interview there? Do you think Bieniemy is a realistic candidate for the Houston Texans?
I think he's a realistic candidate. I do. I think he's a realistic candidate a couple places. It has been interesting the way things have fallen for EB the last couple of seasons. You could start to think, is this going to happen? I think it still should, but we'll see, you know, if anybody at the general manager position believes that's the case. I think it's a really interesting one down in Houston. I heard you read what Ian tweeted out. That's exactly the same thing I heard. And it's kind of interesting because Nick Cassaro, their general manager, was on the headset throughout the season. He was part of play calling. He was part of their game plan. He was a part of, you know, David Culley's coaching staff. That's not a very common thing in the NFL with general managers. So it'll be interesting to see if that's something that Nick Cassaro does moving forward with whoever he selects. There's definitely people with ties to the Patriots like him that are available and could be, you know, in play down there. But one aspect I will say about this, nobody was complaining about Tim Kelly a season ago when he had Deshaun Watson playing better maybe than anybody in all of football as their offensive coordinator. Things turned pretty quickly. I still have heard a lot of really great things about Tim Kelly. I would think if Bill O'Brien got a head coaching job somewhere, perhaps maybe Jacksonville, he's definitely in play there, not just interviewing, but definitely in play as a possibility. I could see Tim reuniting with him because he has done wonders for Deshaun Watson, and I'll honestly, everything I heard he did for Davis Mills, this was a situation down in Houston that wasn't set up to succeed by any means from the jump. So it's just interesting they waited this number of days to make the call. I had heard in the beginning of the week it would be Thursday or Friday. It's kind of interesting because maybe they were waiting to see if who they wanted became available or who they want is going to be able to come and take the job. Sometimes that's when the team waits. So that's the interesting play down in Houston.
James, I don't really get the sense, and you're obviously a lot closer to it than I am, that there's still really a buzz around Bieniemy that maybe there was last offseason or the season before. He got 7 coaching interviews last year. He seemed like a pretty prominent candidate and was at the forefront of a lot of teams' mind. He didn't interview with Jacksonville. We'll see some of these other jobs. I look at these 3 for Bieniemy making the most sense, the Giants, the Broncos, or Vikings. How about those individual spots, and do you see Bieniemy maybe grabbing one of those jobs or getting any job this coaching cycle?
Well, we could start with Denver where I'm standing, and I think the number one thing George Payton is looking for is leadership. Hands down leadership. Number 2 is what the offensive plan. Doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but what the offensive plan is for one of these coaches coming in. To make an example of that, Dan Quinn is definitely a really high-up candidate on their list, and he's a defensive coach, and we look at what he's had maybe in Atlanta, right, when he was the head coach, and that's a top-10 offense each and every one of those years. So, again, it doesn't have to be an offensive coach, but EB would fit what they're looking for in terms of leadership and changing the culture of a building. That's really what they want. Their issues in Denver are far beyond just what was going on with Vic Fangio from a coaching perspective. They believe there are organizational issues, and there's also going to be organizational changes. They'll have new ownership by the time we kick the football off next year, and also John Elway, unless his ownership group wins out, will not be part of the organization either. There's major changes happening in Denver above the head coaching spot. And that's why leadership is such a big part of it. And I think that's why EB falls into that. And I think you could see that that would be a similarity in Minnesota as well as New York, considering everything that went on with 12-minute press conferences and quarterback sneaks and just a lot of head scratching going on. Those are spots where you feel like you need to right the ship in terms of what the fan base, you don't ever want to weigh the fan base into your, you know, coaching decision. But those are spots to where, you know, you make the right hire and the fan base starts to understand that there's at least a competent situation going on in terms of leadership. And I think that's where EB comes to you in spades. And I think you're right. It has been different for him over I think this year has a different vibe than even last year for him. And it's going to be interesting to see if he continues to get this opportunity to interview, or does it eventually cycle out and enough teams have interviewed him? Because sadly, it's a lot of the same teams, right, that are looking for head coaches year, you know, after every couple of years. Does he start to phase his way out of the head coaching spot and he misses that window, or a team doesn't seem to see him as the right fit? We'll see how this cycle plays out, but you're right. It has a bit of a different feel than it did the last couple of seasons.
Last question, at least related to the coaching carousel. Why isn't Spags maybe more of a coaching candidate? When I think about what this defense has done the last couple of years, you think about how this team started off this season. They were 27th in points allowed at week 8 and then finished with 8th. I know he was a head coach before. He's a little bit older than Eric Bieniemy, but I'm surprised that no one has at least reached out to Spags to interview.
You know, Kenny, I think the biggest thing with Spags, and I think the world of him, and I think what he's done each and every one of these years, you're exactly right. I think his patience enable to handle the defense and never panic as the season goes on, and knows that just playing your best football by the end of the season is the most important part. My guess, honestly, somewhat educated, is sex sells, man. And it's not a sexy hire. Spags is not a sexy hire in terms of what some of these teams are looking for. Now, the funny part is, you know, I was on a Twitter space conversation thing with Ian Rappaport and Kay Adams the other night, and the three of us were talking about how that's maybe not always the right approach. Teams don't always go about things, you know, the right way. And the funny part is, we were kind of talking about special teams coordinators, and Dave Tobe's name actually came up. And there's, you know, Ian and I were saying the same thing that you could say Spags is in. If it's not, you know, the super sexy hire, the Sean McVay kind of switched the landscape on all of this. And that's why, you know, we saw right after that, right? And listen, they've succeeded in Matt LaFleur and Zach Taylor. And that's why everybody's looking at Nathaniel Hackett and, you know, those type of names. It's just a different vibe that some teams are looking for because they've seen it be successful. The funny part is Sean McVay hasn't won a Super Bowl yet. He's a great coach. He's a fantastic coach. But people just tend to look at these things in cycles because of what they saw maybe be somewhat successful somewhere else. I could say that's kind of playing into, you know, against Spags getting a look at.
Right now we're talking to James Palmer of NFL Network, going over the coaching carousel right now in the National Football League and taking a look ahead to the wild card matchups this weekend. Let's transition from talking about the off-the-field stuff to the on-the-field stuff. Kansas City plays Pittsburgh this Sunday night. James, create the scenario in which Pittsburgh wins this game, because obviously they are a major underdog in Vegas. I'm thinking the only chance they can win this is a 17-13, just perfect shutout game defensively. But on the other hand, I'm thinking, well, nobody beats Kansas City this way. Like, teams don't do this to the Chiefs. Not saying the Chiefs will go out there and hang 40 on them, but typically you got to score 24 points or more to be able to beat Kansas City. And I just have serious questions whether or not Pittsburgh can do that.
No, I totally do, too. I mean, if you look at the way Ben Roethlisberger has played throughout this season, for much of this season, there's been spots where we've seen a little bit of the old Ben, right? Maybe that gives them a chance if it's that old Ben. I was always told this by my dad working in baseball, and old veteran pitchers kind of talking to them, and it was always, you know, I can still make some of the pitches that I used to make when I was younger. I just can't make them as often. That's kind of Ben Roethlisberger right now in his career. There's still the ability there to go out and have that Ben Roethlisberger, you know, future Hall of Famer type game where he goes and, you know, plays really, really well. The chances of that, as we've seen this season, just have diminished because of his age, his injuries. I mean, it's remarkable he's still going out there and playing with how his body is. I think the way it would shape up for Pittsburgh is, I don't want to even put it out there, but, like, if something happens to Tyreek Hill pregame, the same thing that happened with the heel, you know, know, that gets re-aggravated in some sense, and you don't have him at 100%, and that limits your offense. I think we saw that change the way the Chiefs' offense was against the Broncos, definitely, and that changes the way you can use Travis Kelce. I think that could be something that plays into it. I'm putting in the perfect storm, right? And then, like, early on, there's, like, a T.J. Watt, you know, sacks Patrick Mahomes and, you know, forces a fumble and it's scooped up and they score early quick. It has to be the way we're looking at this right now. A number of things fall the Steelers' way for them to come out on top in this game to where there's a couple of those fluke plays and Ben plays the way that we've seen him only play maybe three times this year, which is kind of the old Ben. And I think that's why he's kind of had that mentality when I was on that press conference with him earlier this week.
No, you're right about the perfect scenario and the perfect storm, because we were kind of having some fun with it earlier. Is I'm getting accused of just being too confident and cocky when it comes to this game, but I just am a firm believer of styles make fights, and we've watched this team with Patrick Mahomes enough to know the teams that give them problems and the teams that don't give them problems. And number one for me is, can you score 24 points? And I'm thinking to myself, all right, let's eliminate special teams, touchdowns, pick sixes, and those kind of things. What's the highest number of points that I think Pittsburgh's offense can score? And the number's probably 17, and that's just not enough to win this game. And a lot of my feelings is based on Ben Roethlisberger. I think he is one of the bottom five quarterbacks in the National Football League. And mm-hmm. I'm just looking at the quarterbacks who have beat this Chiefs team with Patrick Mahomes here, and it's the best of the best. It's the better quarterbacks in the league, and Ben Roethlisberger just doesn't fit that criteria anymore.
No, he really doesn't. I mean, I go back, and I mean, they won the Super Bowl. It's a far cry from Big Ben, but remember Peyton Manning last year. I mean, Peyton Manning threw 9 touchdowns and 18 interceptions in his final season. I mean, Peyton could barely throw, and he's the first to probably admit that. He was not a good quarterback at all that final season. Now, what Ben can do and Peyton could do during that final season is, at the line of scrimmage, even though physically they can't do what they used to do, the line of scrimmage, he still sees things just as good as he did in the past, right? He can still check into the, you know, the right run plays or whatever, like what we saw Peyton in that 2015 deal. But at the same time, Najee Harris is banged up. The big evaluation for him is, to my understanding, is going to be tomorrow. He hasn't really practiced because of the elbow. He's essentially really their offense. I mean, he's second in the NFL in scrimmage yards. He carries the football brilliantly, and I think that's one big part of keeping Patrick Mahomes off the field, that you could maybe have a chance. So, I mean, even he's banged up. So all this is kind of playing into, you're right, a situation where I don't really see it happening. Unless you see just some monster play from, you know, a mistake or a ball that bounces the way they were bouncing in the beginning of the season for the Chiefs, you know, off shoulder pads or something like that, and it lands in Joe Hayden's hands and he returns it for a touchdown. I mean, it has to be more than one, I think, of those kind of fluke plays. But Ben Roethlisberger still sees things very well. He still gets himself into the right play. I just think he's just not the same player that he's been, and it's been almost a detriment to them in some sense.
James, two more questions here. I appreciate your time. First, injury report for Kansas City. Tyreek Hill had the heel injury in their last game. Daryl Williams a little bit banged up. Clyde Edwards-Helaire has missed the last couple of games. He didn't practice today. What are you hearing from an injury front in Kansas City?
Well, Andy was smart to give them the day off, the time off from Saturday until Wednesday, and I think that helped Tyreek Hill a lot. But I will be honest, it's a very interesting injury, because it was one thing where it was like, and I talked to Mecole Hardman on the field about this afterwards, where it was like, was this a precaution? And he was like, oh yeah, it's a precaution. Like, we had it locked up, so we didn't really play him. But he kept coming onto the game, like, you know, third down in the red zone. And you're like, okay, well, it can't be that bad if he keeps re-entering the game. But then he walks off the field across from me, and he's putting, like, no weight on that right heel at all. Like, he's having a hard time. And so that's the interesting part of it. And it seems like something that he's had before, from my understanding. So it's kind of like, could it flare up again? I think that monitoring him and having an extra day really helps. I think he's in a good spot. Practicing in full yesterday and practicing today helps him. I think I would go, like, in this order. Then Daryl Williams is below him a little bit with the big toe, which sneakily, and I've reported this to the NFL Network, I don't know in Kansas City if you guys are talking about it. You can tell me if you are or not. really sneaky good performance this season by Darrell Williams in importance to this offense with 1,000 yards over scrimmage with Clyde Edwards-Helaire missing 7 games. So, I mean, he is kind of important. I'd say his chance to play are a little below Tyreek's, and then I think you put Clyde Edwards-Helaire below both of them with this shoulder because he practiced in a limited capacity yesterday, didn't practice today. So I think he's trending in the maybe opposite direction as Tyreek's, in the better direction. But I'm nervous about Tyreek Hill because it's something that I watched happen right next to me and just flare up, and you're just nervous that happens again. But I know he's gotten a ton of treatment this week in terms of trying to keep that thing calmed down.
That is James Palmer of NFL Network joining us on the show today with the latest on the coaching carousel in the National Football League and getting you ready for Sunday Night Football as the Chiefs take on the Pittsburgh Steelers. James, it's always good talking to you, man. Thanks for hopping on today.
No problem. Excited to be in town on Friday, guys. I'll be there all weekend.
Absolutely. That's James Palmer of NFL Network joining us on the show today. I like James, man. James is a really solid guest. I always like having him on the show. Coming up at the top of the hour, I want to play a form of the Carrington hypothetical button game. I'll explain it. And I'm just kind of thinking more and more about this, like, what scenario could we see Pittsburgh winning this game? I will say this, though, back to what he said regarding Eric Bieniemy. Rod, that's exactly what I think is happening or is going to likely happen to Eric Bieniemy. At some point, you reach where you've interviewed with all these teams before, where you've already interviewed with the Giants. This will be the second time you interview with them. You've interviewed with Jacksonville. You've interviewed with Houston. Like, the jobs that come open are the bad teams in the league, and those are the ones that are forever turning over the coaching position, where Kansas City's coach is longstanding, New England, Green Bay's keeping their coach, the Rams are keeping their coach. You know, for the most part, you've interviewed with all these jobs, and when he mentioned with Spags about how sex sells, teams want to win the PR war where they want to hire a coach that gets you, the fan, excited. So I could see how if you're a team and you're hearing that they're interviewing Steve Spagnuolo and you see, oh, well, it didn't really work the first time. He's almost 60 years old. He's a Chiefs defensive coordinator. I can see how that just doesn't really energize your fan base. I do think Bieniemy's kind of getting to the point where if you don't get a job this cycle or the next cycle, then it's just over for you unless you do something drastic. Unless you go down to the college ranks and have great success and kind of build the buzz back up. But last year, he interviewed for 7 jobs. Jacksonville didn't bring him back this time. Like, Jacksonville did not interview Eric Bieniemy this year. They interviewed him last year. So that's one job that's not even considering you this year. You're going to interview for a couple. You interviewed in Denver. Makes sense. You went to Colorado. You'll interview with Minnesota. You'll interview for the Giants. If you don't get a job this offseason, it's over. You're just not going to get one, I would say. I think this is a really interesting offseason for Eric Bieniemy and the likeliness of him being a NFL head coach. The likeliness of you taking that next step and being a head coach in the National Football League. You don't get 3 cycles to be hot. You get like 1, and that was last year. You had 7 interviews. You interviewed for 1/4 of the league last year. You didn't get 1 offer. You will interview a couple more times, but at some point, it ain't going to happen for you. And that kind of feels like where we are. All right, coming up on the other side, I do want to talk about the Chiefs offense heading into this game. Clyde Edwards-Helaire did not practice today. Tyreek Hill was a limited participant today. And we've heard a lot about there's going to be a wrinkle in the Chiefs offense. What do we think that wrinkle can be? That's coming up next. Keep it locked in right here. It's The Drive.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of 4 amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get 4 iPhone 15s on us and 4 lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
Baseball is back, basketball is heating up, and the NFL draft is right around the corner. Listen to the latest on the teams you love here on the Odyssey app. The biggest sports radio stations in the country, providing unrivaled local coverage of their teams, all in one place. Exclusive interviews with players, coaches, and team executives, streaming live and always available on demand. Stay in the know with your favorite teams right here on the Odyssey app.